Want to know more about what your favorite ninjas have on their minds? Check out the American Ninja Warrior podcast. It's available wherever you get your podcasts, and it's a great listen for any Ninja Warrior fan.
Batter up.
Hello, a pod of their own listeners. Welcome back. This is episode 22. I am Allison McCaig, and I am finally joined by both my co-hosts this week once more. I am joined by Maggie Wiggin. Hello, Maggie.
Hi, Allison.
And Linda Surovich. Hi, Linda.
Hey, Allison.
So it has been since August 13th, I think, since we've been together. So whole squad back together.
Yay.
Yay.
Anyway,
Means summer's over.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah. Taking our last vacations.
I go by the solar system, and our summer will be over in about 3 weeks, and you will pry those 3 weeks from my cold, dead hands.
Hard sand.
And I am still currently on vacation. I am in the death of Jersey Shore, so.
Yeah, Linda's still clinging to summer, and the rest of us are too.
I am.
So a lot has happened in Mets world. It's kind of been a roller coaster, I guess, as you would expect, trying to hold on to a wild card race would be. So they took 2 out of 3 from the Phillies over the weekend after devastatingly being swept by the Cubs, which kind of felt like, you know, a backbreaker, a season ender, or whatever you want to call it. And it may still be that when we look back on this, that was the moment that the season kind of ended again, even though we called the season a while ago. But, you know, they took 2 out of 3 from the Phillies. They won the first game of the National Series in extremely convincing fashion. And they are now currently up 4-1 against Max Scherzer. So that is good.
I'll take that anytime. Oh, yeah.
And yep. Let me just say, taking 2 out of 3 from the Phillies while being in Philly territory was very sweet.
I bet
like
it was.
The broadcasts were all so sad. They were bemoaning the bullpen. And like, it's been kind of shocking to see how many Met fans are down here. Like, there's Met hats everywhere. Like, I kind of feel like a camaraderie all with them. We all kind of like nod at each other and like point to our hats, like while on the beach or on the boardwalk. So
that's how it is. It's not to the same extent, but up in, I live in northern Manhattan, and it is Yankee territory. Ooh. Like, you could walk to Yankee Stadium from here. But there's definitely, like, if you pass somebody with a Yankee hat, nothing happens. But if you pass someone with another Mets piece of paraphernalia, it is an instant conversation anywhere you go. I love
it. Oh, totally.
Yeah. That was definitely true in Baltimore, too. Like, even though obviously I didn't run into too many Mets fans in Baltimore, it was pretty rare. But when I did, it was like, without exception, it was always like, let's go Mets, baby! Like, people get really excited. So it's cool. And yeah, I can definitely back up what Linda was saying about lots of Mets fans being in Philly territory, out and proud, because more on this later, but I was at the game in Philly on Friday night, and, you know, the Mets fans were loud, and there were a lot of them, and it was very fun. So that's good. You know, Mets fans are really excited about this run. Like, imagine if, you know, the Wilpons tried a little more. Imagine how excited this fan base would get.
Like, this could be it every year. Like, I'm not seeing this many Met hats down here. That's because they're good and they're fun. We're proud to represent. Not like, uh-oh, we're in Philly territory, gotta hide.
Yeah. Like, Mets fans are, this is a fan base that's like sitting on a powder keg and wanting to explode like any minute. Mm-hmm. You should probably take advantage of what a loyal and good fan base you have.
Yeah, for serious. We're here. We're always here. Take advantage of us.
Yeah,
make us give you all our money.
Like, I didn't see the game, but, like, you know, I saw on Twitter that the stadium yesterday was, like, barely full, and the Nationals are in a pennant race. They're in a wild card race. And, like, Scherzer even said, can you kind of make noise in September?
Yeah, like, yeah, okay. Strasburg.
I do have to
like, I didn't back see the game, so maybe it, yeah.
A couple of my Nats buddies on Twitter have been really upset about this, and I think it's totally fair that, like, the team and the stadium are just not fan friendly at all.
No,
they don't
not.
Make it easy to get to games. It's really expensive, especially, like, I mean, it's at least as expensive as in New York City, which is ridiculous. Like, public transportation is a mess. There's no parking anywhere. Like, it's just, they, like, yes, there are fewer Nats fans than there should be, but, like, it's also tough when the narrative around Nats fans don't come out is very much about the fans and less about the Nats, when I think they have made a pretty good argument that, like, they want to be out there, they want to support their team, but the team just doesn't make it easy. So screw you, Nats, doubly so, and Nats fans, you're all right.
Yeah, the stadium is not a fan-friendly experience, having been there several times. When I used to live in Baltimore, I would go to Nats Park a fair amount. And what I had to do, and, like, honestly was the best way, is I would drive to, like, the outskirts of D.C., and I would park at the Metro, and I would take the Metro all the way in. But that's not always even possible for other people, because the Metro closes early. So you're taking a risk when you do that, that you can't stay the whole time. And not only that, you know, if you live in the city proper, if you don't have access to the Metro, you, like, can't park. Like, the one time I drove all the way to the stadium, I parked in, like, a tiny, like, satellite lot, and it was $50 to park.
Oh, my God.
Are you kidding?
I'm not. No. Because the stadium is in the middle of the city, so there's not, like, a big parking lot. So they charge, there's not enough to accommodate. There's not enough parking to accommodate if everyone wanted to drive there. So they charge, like, a ridiculous amount to actively discourage driving. But then the Metro doesn't stay open late enough. So it's, like, really hard for them to go.
It's a mess. And, like, I'm not saying it doesn't feel super awesome that we are somehow the team that other fan bases, like, aspire to be. But I will just say, lay off the Nats fans. They are doing their best. They don't have a lot of hardware to hang their hats on, but they're good fans and they love baseball. And so, yeah, the individual Nats fans, we like them. The Nats overall, not so much.
Do not
but
like.
I didn't read the article, but there was an article in the Washington Post that says the Nats are on pace to draw fewer fans since 2011.
Yikes.
So I don't know what's gotten into that.
They're the top wild card team. What is that? Come on, man. That is embarrassing.
Yeah, that's really bad.
Step up your goddamn team.
Nats. Yeah, the team should look into why people aren't going to the games.
Stop charging, like, $60 for weeknight tickets, for starters.
Yeah, for real.
But it's ridiculous. Fans, I mean, tickets aren't cheap, and we still go.
That's true, but I think they are, like, at least as expensive there as they are here. And that's with D.C. is a cheap city, but it's not as expensive as New York.
No,
and
definitely
if you
not.
Want to spend $60 doing something else, you'd have lots of options.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know that there's a good answer. It's just, I definitely feel some of the fan base frustration around that this has become a story. That it's just kind of hard to hear everybody say, like, oh, Nats fans aren't super into it. Not that you guys were saying that, but, like, you know, they're not really baseball. They don't come out and support their team when, like, they try.
Yeah.
We all know what it's like to have a team that doesn't really want us there.
Yeah,
for sure.
I mean, except that the Mets always want you there because you buy a lot of food.
Merchandise.
So they'll do anything they can to get you there. They just don't want to keep you around once you have your, like, $18 burger.
Yep. I will say, though, as someone who, you know, lived in that area for a long time, it is really nice to be a thorn in the Nats' side, even if they end up making the playoffs and we don't. The fact that, like, 5 of our best games of the whole season have been against the Nats is, like, pretty awesome, I'm not gonna lie.
And I think their record is pretty bad against us this year. Like, they would probably be more towards the Braves if it weren't for us.
Yeah, they would have an absolute shot at the division if it wasn't for their dreadful record against us this year. I mean, we 4-game swept them in May.
You love to see it.
Oh,
love
yeah.
To see it. So, yeah, we got DeGrom, Scherzer going right now. It's the third time that they've faced off this season, and the Mets won the other two times. So if trends continue, .. Hopefully we're on our way to
Well, it would
win.
Be wild. It would, no pun intended, but it would be, if that was the wild card matchup, amazing. That just a
marquee.
A potentially like all-time classic wild card for the history books.
Yeah, very similar to, you know, like Thor Bumgarner, like very, you know, marquee matchup. Hopefully it goes better. Hopefully it goes better for us if that's the case this time. But
yeah, I wouldn't survive that.
Speaking of
if
Syndergaard,
we get to that point, I'll be happy.
Yes,
that's true.
True.
Let that be our biggest problem.
So speaking of Syndergaard, he had pretty much the worst outing of his career against the Cubs. You know, it sucks that it came in such a pivotal game. Obviously, like, you never want to see that. Like, you go into that game feeling really confident. You have one of your two best pitchers on the mound. And he, you know, puts up an absolute stinker of a game. But it happens to the best pitchers. It happens. They're going to have a bad outing. It comes down to how, you know, they learn from it and how they bounce back from it. And he looked fantastic yesterday. So that's good to see. That's really encouraging to see.
Yeah, love to see him pitching up to his abilities, because we know it's there. And he's, as much as anyone else, had trouble adjusting to the new ball, and it's, you know, it's been a kind of an uphill battle, but you really see glimpses of this, and you know that like the next couple of years have a lot of possibility.
Yeah. So as things stand in the wild card picture right now, as we record this on Tuesday night, September 3rd, the Mets are currently 4 games back of the Cubs for the second wild card. The Phillies are 2.5 games back, and the Diamondbacks are 3.5 games back, and the Brewers are also 4 games back with the Mets. So it's a tightly packed wild card race. The Mets are kind of hanging on the edges of it, but they're winning right now. And to give updates on the other teams in the situation, the Brewers are currently winning also by a score of 4-1. The Cubs are winning 1-0 against Seattle. And let me, obviously Arizona has not started playing yet because they are on the West Coast. And what are the Phillies doing?
They were winning 2-1 the last time I checked.
They are winning 4-1. So we've got a lot of 4-1 scores happening in the,
so this is when you want to keep the pace. That's fine.
Right.
And it's good to know the Cubs fans are cheering for us. That they had the Met game on at Wrigley the other day. Like, that was kind of cool.
That was pretty cool. So that's the situation right now as we record this. The last bit of kind of Mets news that I want to cover is, you know, injury updates. So Brandon Nimmo is back.
Hooray!
And looks very like Brandon Nimmo, which is really,
he looks
really
more like Brandon Nimmo now than he did before he went on the IL.
Yes, absolutely. Because before he went on the IL, he was, you know, hurt for a long time. So he looks good. He's drawing his walks, sprinting to first base, which I absolutely missed. I adore him. I adore him. It's smiles above replacement, off the charts.
Yeah, he's pretty wonderful.
Robinson Cano is also back,
which like just blows the mind.
Yes,
it's so. So if he was coming back in 2 weeks, I would think, oh, this seems really like they're rushing him. Could he be ready? But now that it, but now 2 weeks earlier than that, I almost feel like maybe there is something that they know that I don't like. I mean, I almost like. Not to accuse the Mets of miscommunicating about an injury. Oh, that would never happen. But it makes me wonder if he didn't actually have a torn hamstring. If it was just a bad strain or something like that. Because a tear, to be back in just like a month and a half or whatever it was, that is really hard to buy. Even assuming that the Mets are being as irresponsible as they usually are.
Yes, I agree. update, Kurt Suzuki just singled in a run, so it's 4-2 now, and the Nats still have two on and one out, unfortunately.
Okay, so we'll fine, whatever. I don't care.
We'll see how this plays out. Bottom of the sixth. Yeah. However, so yes, I agree, Maggie, and it's kind of one of those things. So the most frustrating thing about this, which I want to discuss, is the hypocrisy surrounding Mickey Callaway's quotes, which I can't pin entirely on Mickey Callaway because, let's be real, they're coming from above him. But before the game today, Mickey Callaway talked about how to preserve his legs, Robinson Cano has to, you know, control like when he runs things out, basically like control how hard he runs things out. Whereas earlier in the season, he was, you know, demonized for not beating out, for not running out ground balls. And Mickey Callaway himself said, you got to run those out every time. He knows that. So this is like, you can't have it both ways, Mickey.
Yeah, and it's something that it's from, most importantly, it's coming from Mickey. You know, he is the manager. He is supposed to set the tone. Robinson Cano should be able to trust him, should know what he's going to be asked to have a plan, and clearly he doesn't, and that's got to be incredibly hard for a player. But it's everyone. The media is like, why doesn't Cano run out his ground balls? And Robinson Cano gets hurt running out of ground ball, and they're like, maybe we should be more careful next time. And, like, fans who, of course, are feeding off of the media and what the team is saying. It's just, I really feel for Cano in this scenario. It is, I think we've all been in professional situations where you have either the same people or different people demanding that you do the exact opposite things from each other. And it's a nightmare. It sucks. And, I'm sorry, Cano, on your behalf. That's stupid, and they should stop.
They should stop. Really happy to have Cano back in the lineup. And
yes,
Maggie wrote a fantastic piece that you can look out for on Amazing Avenue about where in, like, how the lineup shapes up with Cano back in it, how the Mets should deploy their players, etc., which we've talked about briefly on the pod before. So you guys should check that piece out. And meanwhile, Gerardo Parra just grounded into a double play to end the inning. So the Mets are out of the inning at the end of the sixth. Mets still up 4-2, which is awesome. So Robinson Cano is back. He's not in the starting lineup tonight. The Mets have had this weird pattern with the past few guys that have come back where they activate them from the injured list and then they don't start them and then they start them the next day. Whatever.
It's a weird, I don't know. At this point in the season, when, like, the roster situation isn't really an issue, I would just as soon, like, give them a day coming in, pinch hitting, whatever. It's, you know, but it is a weird thing, and it's just very Mets.
Yes.
But, like, if they're not healthy enough to play when they're activated, then should they really be there?
Yeah, good question.
I mean, shouldn't they, if they weren't healthy enough to play when before they were on the IL, they should have been on the IL earlier, too.
Well, that's also very true. Yeah.
I mean, we're at the point where rosters are expanded now, so it doesn't really matter if guys are actually on the IL or not. But, yeah. You know, hopefully Cano's not being rushed back and that he literally is just Superman, which I fully believe that he's Superman. And is just, you know.
And can everybody, not get on him if he doesn't run?
Yeah, don't get on him if he doesn't run, everyone. Including you, Mickey Callaway. Can we stop that?
Yeah.
Now? Yeah, let's not. So anyway, hopefully the Mets pull this win out that they're currently hanging on to right now. But, you know, bullpen gonna bullpen, so we'll see. When we get back, we are going to talk more about our fundraiser that we have going on. So stay tuned for that.
When you start losing your hair, there's no magical cure. But there is a way to stop hair loss from happening in the first place. It's called Keeps, and it's a treatment that's proven up to 90% effective at reducing and stopping further hair loss. You don't have to go to the doctor's office or stand in line at the pharmacy for a prescription. You'll visit a doctor online, and they'll send the medication right to you in a discreet package. And with Keeps starting at just $10 a month, you don't have to go broke to avoid going bald. 2 out of 3 guys will experience some form of male pattern baldness by the time they're 35, so prevention is key. The sooner you start using Keeps, the more hair you'll save. Nearly 100,000 men trust Keeps for their hair loss prevention medication. They have more 5-star reviews than any of their competitors. So take action now and visit keeps.com/SBNation. With our special offer, you'll receive your first month of treatment for free at keeps.com/SBNation. That's KEEPS.com/SBNation.
Hey, I'm Spencer Hall.
I'm Holly Anderson.
I'm Ryan Nanny.
I'm Jason Kirk, and we're the hosts of the Shutdown Fullcast, your Avengers of College Football podcast. It says here in the script I'm to riff on what that means, and basically what I mean is it's all already spoiled.
Every Tuesday, we talk about everything from cooking disasters to pro wrestling to unfashionable pants we wore in middle school.
We also do talk about college football every now and then, like mascot fights, announcers fleeing the booth early, and unfashionable pants that coaches wear now.
If you want to take college football exactly as seriously as it should be taken, subscribe for free on Apple Podcasts or in your favorite podcast app.
And we are back. So this week we don't, in lieu of, you know, a baseball-y segment, we're going to give an update on our fundraiser and talk a little bit more about it and give you guys an update on it. So as we announced last week on the show, we are doing a fundraiser for the month of September. We have dubbed it Dollars for Dingers. So if you see that hashtag floating around on Twitter on our account, on our a pod of their own account or each of our personal accounts, that's what that means. For every home run the Mets hit in the month of September, we each of us, along with our listeners, are pledging to donate a certain amount, whatever amount you are comfortable with, to the National Domestic Violence Hotline. And since our episode last week, when we had Sarah Sanchez on from Cup of Cubby Blue, Cup of Cubby Blue decided they wanted to partner with us for this fundraiser, which is fantastic on their part. So they are doing the same thing for Cubs home runs. So we've turned it into a little bit of a friendly competition to see who can raise the most money, which is awesome. And we've already gotten such a good response from you guys. We are so happy. Thank you all so much who have already pledged. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We are so happy and so overwhelmed by your generosity, by your participation in this fundraiser. We hope that you guys will continue to keep pledging and keep raising our dollar total. We hope the Mets will do their part by hitting more dingers. We are now at 3 dingers, including that Joe Panic dinger from tonight. So please make a pledge if you haven't already. We have a post up that Maggie wrote on Amazing Avenue with details and the link to our spreadsheet, which we will also continue to link in our show notes and tweets. Just disclaimer, the sheet that we made, the spreadsheet, it's a Google Doc that is public, but you do not have to use your name in the spreadsheet. You can just put your Twitter handle, just your first name, anonymous, whatever you want, but we just need that spreadsheet to keep track of our total, to keep up the friendly competition bit with the Cubs folks. So please put something in the spreadsheet, or if you want to make an anonymous pledge and you don't feel like putting it in the spreadsheet, you can email us aa.apodoftheirown@gmail.com. And we will keep track of anonymous donations that way. So however you want to do it, you can spice up your pledge however you want. Extra money for grand slams, extra money if your favorite hitter hits a home run. We know that. Shout out to Alex, because Joe Panic hit a home run and Alex pledged to donate more for Joe Panic diggers. So that, we've already gotten a customized pledge from that. So the new update on the fundraiser is that we are having a fundraising event to sort of like close this out toward the end of the month. On September 21st, mark your calendars, we are having a fundraising event that will include a live podcast. So if you want to come hang out with us, we're going to be raising more funds. We're going to be raffling off certain Mets items that are TBD. We are still working out the final details on the location, but we will let you know as soon as those details become available. But it will probably be somewhere in the city. It'll be somewhere in the city at a bar or something. So
unless Amazing Avenue is like swimming in secret money and wants to fly us out to like Cancun. I would do a meetup in Cancun.
I wouldn't turn that down.
No, definitely not. But yeah, we will tweet out, you know, post the details once they become available, but mark your calendars, September 21st, hopefully during the hours that the Mets are playing so that the Mets game will be on in the background wherever we are. We'll have Mets related items to raffle off to raise more funds. We'd love to see you guys all out there. Come hang out with us, come say hi. It'll be really fun. And I'm really, really excited about that. And our fundraiser, and how like much you guys have already put into it and how enthusiastic you guys have been. So thank you so, so much to all of our listeners.
It's amazing. And you guys have signed up in droves. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Linda.
No. I was just going to say, if that game means something on the 21st, like,
oh, that would be pretty special.
Me watching the game during the podcast is bad. Oh man, me in person is going to be so bad. If so, if you want to see that, definitely come.
Okay, don't tell our possible venues that Linda might blow out the windows with her screams, but we're all here for it. But I just want to say,
I should be in public.
The responses on the spreadsheet have been amazing, to the point where I would also say, if you have any Cubs friends, please tell them to sign up. I feel a little bad for the Cubs side of things. It's real one-sided now. Now, that's not to say that it shouldn't be more one-sided if that's what brings in the dollars. But also, let's keep some fingers crossed for the Cubs. Hope they get more people on.
Yeah, for sure. The more the merrier on both sides. We want that.
Like, I looked at it today and was, like, absolutely floored.
Yeah, it's been absolutely incredible, the number of people that have put their names on the spreadsheet. Thank you guys.
And the people who are retweeting the tweets, that's always so helpful in getting it out there. I would like to thank all of my Mets friends and family that are on my Facebook who did not delete me after I spammed them today.
I also have spammed on Facebook.
Yeah.
So before we move on to walk-off wins, I just wanted to give a quick teaser, because this is something different that we haven't done before. We are going to have another episode this week, and it's going to drop in your feeds on Friday. We are going to be interviewing Lindsay Adler of The Athletic, and we're going to be interviewing her on Thursday night, and that show will go up on Friday. So that's part of why we didn't really have a baseball-y segment for you guys this week, and we just wanted to give a fundraiser update instead, because we will be having two episodes this week, and the second episode will be on Friday, interview with Lindsay. We're super excited to talk to her. We can't wait for this interview. We're so jazzed about it. Lindsay is so great, and we can't wait to hear from her about all of her insights about, you know, switching beats from the Mets to the Yankees and so much more. So look out for that in your feeds on Friday. So we will close out the show this week, like we always do, with walk-off wins, where each of us talks about what is making us happy this week, baseball related or otherwise. So Maggie, what is your walk-off win for this week?
Well, we teased it already a little bit today, but my walk-off win is the return of Brandon Nimmo. And, you know, for starters, I don't know if the Mets have broken my brain or if, you know, I will somehow turn out to be right about this, but I really thought Nimmo was going to be gone for absolutely all of the season, maybe part of next season too, or possibly just never look like himself again. And I know this has been a short sample, things can change, but like, he really looks like himself. And that's after playing with a busted up neck for God knows how long. So the fact that he's even here just feels like a miracle, which I'm sure is something he would appreciate. And it's a total surprise, total treat out of nowhere, absolute cherry on the sundae of this season. This season sundae is maybe a little skimpy, but it's so much fun to have him back. He looks great. He's what this team needs. It's just running his ass down to first base after drawing a walk. That is good baseball, people. I want to see that every time. Robinson Cano, don't listen to this. You have a different thing. It's fine. But I love it. And I'm just glad he's back. I didn't think it was going to happen. So that's, I mean, you know, there's always like that added dimension of of good news is always something that feels nice. And so, yeah, that's how I'm feeling about Brandon Nimmo. Yay, Nimmo. Welcome back.
Welcome back, Brandon Nimmo. I mean, it's not just, I mean, obviously we can't talk enough about how much we love his energy, his joy that he brings to the game. It's totally infectious. And that's our favorite thing about him. But he's also a damn good baseball player. So
sure is.
To have him back in the lineup is something really, really awesome. And it makes me ridiculously happy, especially having him at the top of that lineup drawing walks. The Mets need it. We need him back in our lineup, and he's there now, and I couldn't be happier. So I share that joy with you, Maggie, about Brandon Nimmo being back.
Yeah, that was like the one thing we were missing. Like this season was good, but he just completes it.
Yeah, agree. Linda, what is your walk-off win for this week?
My walk-off win is being on vacation.
Yeah.
My niece and nephew were here last week with us. And like I was telling you guys earlier, like this was a place we've been going to ever since I was a kid. My mom would vacation here when she was a kid. So it's just been fun to see my niece and nephew fall in love with a place that I've loved for as long as I can remember. And just to see the joy they get of just splashing in the waves, like something, I've been taking for granted for so many years. And going on rides and just rediscovering what it means to go to the boardwalk, go to the beach. So that was fun. And now that they're gone, it's very quiet.
Yeah.
But still, it was fun to be able to spend the week with them and just see them, just have a blast. And that made me happy and enjoy my vacation even more, even if they were just a little loud in the morning.
Oh, yeah, I know that thing.
Just a little early.
That's awesome. I love beach trips. It's my favorite. I miss it. Yeah. I haven't been to I didn't go to the Jersey Shore this year for the first time in quite a while. And it makes me sad. I feel like there was something missing in my summer, but I mean, I still had a great summer, but it's not complete without a trip to the Jersey Shore for me.
So. No. Yeah. This thing that would be me too. Like the Jersey, nothing beats the Jersey Shore.
It's the best water. I will go toe to toe with any other beach on the planet. The Jersey Shore is the right kind of beach.
Damn right.
It is. Love yeah, it. Nothing everything you could possibly want is at the Jersey Shore.
Yep.
I remember the first time I went to California, I was in my early 20s and I was okay, so time for this gorgeous Pacific beach. And I stepped one foot in it. It was so goddamn cold, you guys.
Freezing.
It was the coldest freaking water. And I was at the beach for a week and I went in the water twice.
Oh no.
And I'm like, this is lame.
Yeah, that's not a beach vacation.
Nope.
Yeah, yeah. I remember the one time when I went to San Diego, I was like, I just want to dip my toes in the water just to say I put my feet in the Pacific Ocean. I was like, ew, okay, I'm done now.
Never mind.
And also, nobody warned me.
Yeah.
No one is ever, this is not a thing that people talked about before I went into the Pacific Ocean. It was just oh, look how beautiful this California beach is. They don't tell you, by the way, it is freezing.
Yep. Yeah, that's all you hear is, oh, it's gorgeous, you have to go.
Yep, water's cold. Yeah,
Jersey Shore forever.
Jersey Shore forever. Love it. So my walk-off win this week, which I alluded to already, is that I was in attendance at the Mets-Phillies game on Friday night. So that was quite a fun win for us Mets fans. I was in mixed company. So it was me and some of my best friends from college. My best friend from college is a Phillies fan. So actually a lot of the fun of the game was our other friends taking multiple photos of us reacting to
things. Those were amazing.
Because we had completely opposite reactions. So there are photos of me yelling and her looking really sad. And I assure you that they are utterly organic. These were not staged reactions. These are live takes that my friends are taking pictures of.
Allison, please pin this tweet to your profile for a few days so that our listeners can go to your Twitter profile and see it immediately because it is wonderful.
It's so good.
I can pin
just
it.
Just promise me that you'll do that.
I will do that. Right now, Dollars for Dingers is pinned, but I'll pin that for like a couple days and then I'll go back to Dollars for Dingers being pinned.
That seems like a fair balance.
I have the it whole does. Month for Dollars for Dingers to be pinned. But yeah, I can pin this tweet. It's pretty good. It's like a photo series where like things, like I think it was the first Todd Frazier home run was what that was. So, you know, it starts off with like my Phillies fan friend like clapping and me looking like really nervous, and then like, and then it slowly changes to like me cheering and her being like, "Oh." It's very good. It's very funny. So I was with my best friend's a Phillies fan, and then our other three friends that were with us included one Nationals fan and two like non-baseball people. So it was like very interesting company that I was with. Like almost the whole NL East represented, and the Nats fan was kind of like, I don't think I actually care which team wins. And then the other two were like, who should we root for, who's the underdog here? And me and the Phillies fan said Mets and Phillies at the same time, like like, who's the underdog? I said Mets, she said Phillies at the exact same time, and I was like, it's Aaron Nola against Zach Wheeler, you guys are gonna win. And then, and then she was like, just wait until the bullpen comes in. And then of course the Mets unleashed themselves on the Phillies bullpen, and she was like, I told you.
To be fair, you could say the same thing about the Mets bullpen.
Exactly.
Seriously.
And the NL East collective bullpen is woof. Like, I cannot believe overall the NL East bullpen scene is just yikes. Not a nice place to be.
But
yeah.
Quick question, because I missed it. Is Diaz really fixed?
Maybe.
Probably.
He looks right. Good.
Yeah. Right. He looks better for sure, and it's like it's a plausible scenario to me, like the explanation
because
it like falls in line with DeGrom already having kind of figured his shit out a little bit. I don't know, I'm not 100% sold, but I sort of am. I'm buying.
Yeah, hopeful.
I like, I don't know, I feel like I'm like, I've been pulled in by Diaz before, but I sure as heck will get pulled in by him again because I so desperately want him to be good.
I know.
It costs us nothing to believe, except playoff deposits, but true. I don't have that kind of money anyway, so whatever.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I just had overall, it was just a super fun night. And I'm not just saying that because the Mets won, although that added a lot of fun to it, but like, I got to the game early. I got to eat a cheesesteak and drink a beer and watch batting practice. And it was just like a really nice like night weather-wise. It was like the perfect night, like gorgeous in the high 70s, you know, just like really beautiful outside. And like, it's a nice ballpark. It's like the last time I went to Citizens Bank Park was in 2010. And I'm not going to tell the whole story because this is walk-off wins and it's supposed to be happy. But I had a really bad experience. That kind of scarred me to the point where I haven't been back there since 2010. And so I feel like I kind of like reclaimed that ballpark for good memories and was able to actually appreciate what a nice place it is to watch baseball. So that was nice. So that was like my favorite part of the whole night, was that like, I just
love when that happens,
you know, got to reclaim the place for good memories. So that's my walk-off win for this week. A beautiful Friday night of baseball in Philadelphia. Got to watch the Mets win. Got to spend some time with my friends. It was really fun. I had a great night.
Was there a giveaway?
There was not. No. Oh. I don't think so. It was Bark at the Park night, though. So that's another thing that added to the happiness.
They are giving away joy. They are giving away joy.
Giving away joy.
It is totally a giveaway.
Although, did you see the dog with the dressed as the fanatic?
Yes, I did. It was so cute.
He was very cute.
It was so cute. Anyhow, so that does it for the show for this week. You can go to amazonavenue.com for all of our fantastic Mets-related content. Like I said, Maggie has a piece about the lineup construction with Cano back in the lineup. We have all of our game recaps, analysis, all the things that you love about Mets baseball at amazonavenue.com. You can follow Amazon Avenue at Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Amazon Avenue. You can follow our show at A Pod of Their Own on Twitter. You can follow each of us on Twitter. I am at Petite PhD. How about you, Linda?
I am at Linda Cerevich.
And you, Maggie?
I am at Maggie162.
You can follow all of us on Twitter, follow the show on Twitter. You can email the show, aa.apodoftheirown@gmail.com. Email us about any, you know, Mets-related stuff you want us to talk about, baseball-related stuff you want us to talk about it. Talk about your pledges. If you're not putting them on the spreadsheet, you can email them to us. Utilize our email. We love to hear from you. The original music for this podcast is by Bunga, and you can also subscribe to the show on all of your favorite podcasting platforms. Please subscribe to the show. Please rate and review the show. It really helps people find the show. Look out for the next episode of this in your feeds on Friday with the Lindsay Adler interview. We're super excited about it. Let's go Mets, and don't forget, there is no crying in college.